It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Monson, MONSON.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent podcasts and our most recent op-eds. We recorded a terrific podcast yesterday with Kevin Sorbo. You know him. He was Hercules. He does a lot of family-friendly movies now. Facebook canceled him. He has a 500,000 followers, and he started a new Facebook page. And I think I just saw a tweet this morning that they just canceled him again. So that is a great podcast. We'll be talking with Dr. Jill Vecchio and doing a podcast with her, as well as she's going to be our guest in the second segment. And also, there will be a great op-ed by Alan Thomas, and he'll be on the show tomorrow. Thank you to each of you for joining us, for listening. Each of you, you're treasured. You have a purpose. Live with intention and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And I am so fortunate to work with this great team, and that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. Happy Thursday, Steve.
Yes, thank you. Are you huffing and puffing?
It's been quite a morning getting here.
Oh, okay. Never mind. You're here, and that's all that really matters.
Fortunately, the elevators were working. Otherwise, it was going to get very tricky. And I'm so thrilled to have in studio with me one of my great partners. That's Hal Van Herke. He is the owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool. It's a family-owned business located right here in Sedalia, Colorado, and they have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. If you're a sportsman or a chef or a collector, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for you. Hal, it's great to have you here.
Great to be here. It's a little snowy this morning, but you know, they're out doing the best to get the roads taken care of, and they're doing a great job. So,
do allow a little extra time. Yes. I thought I was allowing a little extra time, and we just about gave Steve a heart attack this morning.
We both can attest to the fact that a little extra time would be valuable.
It would
today.
Be a really valuable thing, that is for sure. And go over to my website and contribute to the work that we are doing. It's these great partners, plus your support, that is keeping our independent voice on the air and bringing forth these issues as we look at them as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And thank you to each of you that are contributing and helping us do that. Our show this weekend for America's Veterans Stories is World War II veteran Tom Ram. He was at the Battle of Iwo Jima, and he was
corpsman.
There we go.
Corman, yeah. Yes.
I was almost doing an Obama, you know. He was a corpsman. And it is a fabulous interview, Steve. I know that these stories are really touching you.
You know, since January, when you brought the show back to KLZ, we've talked to another guy already, maybe more than one, who was at Iwo Jima. So someone might be saying, well, all right, we've already covered that. No. Each person's perspective, and I know enough about the situation at Iwo Jima that, you know, they came at it from multiple different sides, and the role that they played in terms of which branch of the service they were in, everything is unique.
And yes, each individual's story is so different, and sometimes these are stories. This isn't your quick soundbite. Actually getting to these stories, and we're talking how with folks that are in their 80s, or excuse me, in their 90s. And of course, when we're talking with Korean War veterans, most of those guys and gals are in their 80s. But the stories, they evolve. And you just have to be patient to hear these stories, Hal.
Yeah, one of the things I've learned over the years from when you're talking to members of the Greatest Generation is, unlike us today, they are very reluctant to talk about that whole period. I mean, their actions, whether they were staying home you know, supporting the economy and doing their thing at home, or if they were overseas in direct combat, whatever their role was during World War II, they seemed to be very reluctant to talk about it. And you kind of have to draw it out of them. And once you start to draw it out of them, maybe as they get older, they're willing to talk about it more. And the story does evolve and kind of flows through. And I was going back to what producer Steve said, is that, you know, Iwo Jima, for example, it was completely different depending on what branch of the service you were in, what role you had, what mm-hmm. beach you landed on, what your role in the unit is. But, I mean, the reality is you could be talking to two guys that were right next to each other holding rifles, and their experience is going to be completely different, and their experience is going to be very individualistic, and what's going through their head, what they brought into the, you know, what they left behind at home, what they brought into the situation, injuries they've had. You know, some of them, obviously, a lot of them didn't make it back. You know, so it's, I think that's one of the more fascinating things about looking at the sacrifice they made, is just how individualistic it was shoulder to shoulder. And your experience would completely vary depending just on random, you know, situations in the battlefield.
And you have nailed it. And Hal Van Herke, Castlegate Knife and Tool offers a discount every day for our military personnel, our veterans, as well as our first responders. Yeah. And you're a veteran.
Right. Yeah, for that reason, because of it's a certain class of people that are willing to volunteer to put their life on their line for their country and for others, and whether that's military or first responders here at home that do it on a daily basis. And we respect and honor and cherish those types of people, whether they're active or that, you know, now they've retired or et cetera. And we think it's important to give them a discount. It's not just a frivolous discount in our mind. It's a discount respecting the fact that not only did they make that sacrifice, but they're the type of person who was willing to make that sacrifice.
Well, and that's why you're such a valued partner of the show, and you also are a partner of the Americans Veteran Story Show as well, and I so appreciate that. We're going to do just go through our quotes here. We'll talk with Dr. Jill Vecchio, and then when we come back in the third and fourth break, rest in peace, Rush Limbaugh. I'd like to talk just a little bit about him. He passed on yesterday, and what he did for conservatism. And we need to protect that word conservative. And what that means is it is conserving this idea of the Declaration that all men are created equal with these rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. So very quickly, I'm going to share a couple of quotes, and then we have Karen Levine on the line as well. You know her. She is an award-winning realtor with a RE/MAX Alliance. Clarification from yesterday, the quote from Blaise Pascal. I didn't get it quite right, and Julie got this to me. She said, "Truth is so obscure in these times and falsehood so established that unless we love the truth, we cannot know it." And then our other quote for today is from Rush Limbaugh, a radio personality. He was born in 1951. He passed on yesterday. He said, "Government is not capable of caring. Government gets things done through coercion. They fine, they penalize, they tax, they confiscate, they jail, they bully to get what they want. And that is why the founders thought that that we needed to keep government very limited, because if they're not limited, and we can see this going on, actually we see the Colorado State Legislature's going back into session, and they want to raise fees and fines, not taxes, because if they are raising your taxes, they have to have the good manners to ask you. Hey, Karen Levine, how are you doing this snowy day here in Colorado?
Well, I think I'm doing well. I'm not running late, so that part's good.
Ouch.
Ouch.
I don't know where she came up with that. I really don't.
Yes, Karen, Al and I can attest to, if you need to be someplace at a certain time, allow a little extra time.
Well, you know, our philosophies are, let's cram as much into any given day as possible, and you may be late.
You are my sister on that, for sure. What is happening? The legislature is, I think, convening here in Colorado, at least for right now. Anything particularly on your radar that people need to know about? I know on the national level, you're watching this 1031 trade thing.
Right. Well, the 1031 exchange right now, I don't think there's any discussion with that at the federal level. I would say the hot news in the real estate arena is that Zillow, which many of your listeners, I'm sure, are aware of Zillow. It is a great website to go and search general information about housing nationwide. Zillow's goal was just to get as many eyes on their page as possible. They're not about accuracy. They're just about engagement. And they put in a $500 million offer to buy the showing service that many of us use throughout the United States. And there are concerns about a monopoly, antitrust, some things that are concerning not only to the realtor community, but to our consumers, because we use that Showing Time website to give our consumers information as far as their names, their phone numbers, and their email addresses to schedule showings on their homes. And Zillow will now have access to that information. So,
ouch.
There's a lot of concern about this acquisition and how it's going to affect the marketplace. Zillow had just been an aggregator of data for many years, and they got into the real estate brokerage arena in January, at the beginning of the year, end of December maybe, and now have brokerage firms that are sprouting up across the nation as well. And they had told us 2 decades ago their goal was to be the Amazon of real estate. I don't believe that's going to be in the best interest of buyers and sellers in our communities.
Really, having a professional to navigate these transactions, somebody with great negotiating skills, over the long term is just so important. I know working with good people is so important. And Karen, you and I have known each other for so many years. You're a great negotiator. You can help people when they're buying or selling their home, or if they're looking at a new build. It's good to get you in on that first appointment as well, so that you are on the buyer's side of the table and they have good representation. How can people reach you, Karen?
They can reach me by dialing 303-877-7516. And I'm available to answer any questions you might have about residential real estate, whether that is selling or buying, along the metro corridor. So from Castle Rock to Longmont.
Okay, that's 303-877-7516. And Karen, we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. You guys have a good show.
We will. We're going to go to break. In studio is Hal Van Herke. He is an entrepreneur, small business owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool. We're going to go to break. And when we come back, I have a question for Dr. Jill Vecchio. Apparently, Joe Biden said there was no vaccines for the COVID-19 Wuhan, China virus until he got into office. Is that true? We'll ask Jill.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Rest in peace, Rush Limbaugh, an icon, protector of the American idea, the American experiment. And he certainly, we will miss him. Rest in peace, Rush Limbaugh. So we have his bumper music for us today, and we'll be talking about Rush Limbaugh just a little bit here in the third and fourth segment with Hal Van Herke, owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool. On the line with me is Dr. Jill Vecchio. You know her. She is a radiologist. She's in the business of saving women's lives by detecting breast cancer. She's also a health care expert. She read the Complete and Affordable Care Act, and like Nancy Pelosi, Jill Vecchio read it so she knew what was in it, and then she started to tell us what was in it, and it was absolutely terrifying. Dr. Jill Vecchio, welcome to the show.
That's a great way to introduce somebody. Absolutely terrifying.
Well, you were telling us all about that, and that's really how we first met. I went to an event where you were talking about Obamacare as they were proposing it. And I'm like, my gosh, this woman is something else. And you went all the way to Washington. You've been working on healthcare policy. And in some ways, I'm afraid it's going to be deja vu all over again, Jill, with Biden. But I wanted to ask you about this. Apparently, Biden the other day said that there was no COVID-19 Wuhan, China virus vaccine until he got into office. And I think even the mainstream media is starting to walk that back. But what's your thoughts on that, Jill?
I'm very happy for him to take absolute ownership of the vaccine. Totally happy with that. In fact, you know, Godspeed. it was all set up to be that way, right? I mean, the media was saying, Anthony Fauci was saying, all the experts, quote, the ones that they interviewed in the media, there's no way we can get a virus this fast. There's no way Trump can get a virus this fast.
Or vaccine.
It's never going to happen, never going to happen, never going to happen. And the only person who was saying it was going to happen was Trump. And people loyal to Trump were the only ones saying that, yeah, we're going to have this vaccine. It's almost ready, right?
Mm-hmm.
Trump kept saying, yeah, it's going to be ready. It's going to be ready. And then what happened? What was it, 2 days after the election? Hello, here's our vaccine now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shocker. It's a miracle. You know, now that Joe Biden is president, right, president-elect, now we're going to have, now we've got the virus.
Or the vaccine.
Now we've got the vaccine. Based on what we know about the vaccine, any of the vaccines, and people can go back and listen to podcasts or another great source is Dr. Simone Gold, SimoneGold. Simone Gold, she has a video out there. You might have to go to like BitChute or Rumble to find it. But it's a wonderful, quick video that tells you all about the vaccine. She's done research. I've done research. She's very articulate, and pass it on to as many people as possible, because this vaccine, I believe, is going to be a disaster. And let's face it, they're already saying now, oh, well, we may have this vaccine, but this new mutation from the UK is going to sweep the world. You know, they're just going to keep coming up with either new mutations on COVID, or when that stops working, there's going to be a new pandemic with a brand new bug that was, again, laboratory derived.
Well,
so
and they're just trying
to... This is just the beginning, folks. If you think that COVID is going to go away and everything's going to be back to normal, it's not. Because they have to achieve their goal of total control over us, take down the United States. This is their ultimate chance now that they're back in power. They have to do this as quickly as possible. And I'm not joking, folks. Wake up. Wake up.
Well, and if you
not
actually,
business as usual.
If you go to the World Economic Forum, is it Klaus Schwab who's their spokesman, you can look at their 8 goals for the world by 2030. And one of them is to take down Western civilization. It seems
right.
Wild, but yet when you look at what is happening with going after our small businesses and our mid-sized businesses, they shut them down, the big guys, they kept them open. But Jill, a bunch of us girls were together just recently, and I what you said regarding the vaccine is this is unlike anything else that we've ever seen as far as a vaccination. Typically, a vaccination has a little bit of the disease in it, and then it's injected into one's body, and the body creates antibodies. Am I remembering exactly what you said on that correctly?
Yes, very, very well. And usually they use a part of the virus or maybe the whole virus that's been weakened or the whole virus that's been killed, but the parts that the body's immune system recognize are still intact. So that's typically how you do a vaccine. They've been changing the way that they do vaccines since the wonderful Dr. Bill Gates, right? You know, since Bill Gates took over some of the stuff with, and it's been disastrous results. I was doing some research last night on some of the vaccines that are in India and Africa and redoing the polio vaccine and what horrible, horrible results around the world with them testing these vaccines on hundreds of thousands of African and Indian children with just awful.
When you say awful, what?
Gardasil and some of this. Oh, well, like it actually caused. The polio vaccine, these little drop vaccine, that Bill Gates came up with an inexpensive drop actually caused polio outbreaks.
Oh, we haven't heard that.
Leaving like hundreds of thousands of kids with polio, crippled for life.
I had not
horrible
heard that.
Horrible stuff. He got kicked out of India, apparently, or something. So, I mean, it's crazy. And then the Gardasil stuff, you know, the girls mm-hmm. in Africa having, I think it was Africa, having seizures immediately after being injected. I mean, it's just awful.
Okay, and this is all documented. I haven't seen it, so this is documented, Jill?
Yes, well, and a great place to go is Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s website,
okay.
too.
Okay.
He has tons of videos on this stuff, gives all kinds of information. And, and then the autism rate, the way we're vaccinating our kids, 120 vaccinations by the time they're 17 years old. People don't know this. You just want to shake everybody and go, wake up, okay? Stop playing video games. Get off of Facebook unless you want to distribute this valuable information instead of what you had for lunch yesterday, okay? wake yourself up. The only reason that they have been allowed to progress this far for this great reset is because nobody believes that it could possibly be true.
Right.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Satan's greatest achievement was convincing the world that he didn't exist. This is the same thing. This is the same thing, folks. Wake up. It's time to start doing some research. It's time to figure out what really is going on around your little world. Okay? Pay attention for your kids. Do this for your kids and your grandkids.
Well, and that is why we need to get our businesses opened up without restriction. It breaks my heart. I actually was out and about a bit and seeing for sale, for lease. Restaurants that I used to go to are no longer in business. This is cruel to do that. But we have just a couple of minutes, Jill. I wanted to go back to the COVID-19 vaccine. And what you said is this is a synthetic vaccine. So it doesn't
right.
have part of the disease in it, right?
They have synthesized portions of, and each vaccine is a little bit different as to what portion of the virus that they are replicating, that they have synthesized. So this is the first synthesized virus vaccine made from synthesized portions of a virus, I should say. The very first time this whole technology has been used, I'm sorry, and we're going to inject, perhaps forcefully at some point, right? We're going to vaccinate billions of people around the world. Are you kidding me?
And it hasn't
been. Like I said before, Moderna, the Moderna company that has one of the vaccines, or the second one to come out after Pfizer, Moderna has never brought a single product to market. Not one. Not one vaccine, not one drug, nothing.
And
they've all been doing basic research.
And in Colorado, I actually talked to a healthcare professional. You can't choose what company's vaccine you get if you get it in Colorado. And apparently, I think the Colorado State Legislature think that they're so important. It's okay with me, actually, if they run ahead. I don't mind that. I think they want to jump the line in front of everybody to get the vaccine. But the hubris of they're supposed to be serving the people, but yet they want to jump the line, I think is interesting. Jill, we need to go to break, but you and I are going to record a podcast a little bit later today. We'll roll it out this weekend. And I was talking to somebody yesterday. She said, I love these podcasts with Dr. Jill Vecchio. So we'll encourage people to go to the website and listen to those because there's a lot of great information. So I'll talk to you in a little bit, Dr. Jill Vecchio.
Alrighty, take care, everybody.
Okay, thanks so much. And Jason McBride, Senior VP with Presidential Wealth Management. We're going to be talking about Rush Limbaugh here in the third and fourth segment with Hal Van Herkey. But that is a big loss. He was a big voice, Jason.
Well, he sure was. And, President Trump giving him the medal and the honor that he did at the State of the Union, I think that was a really neat thing. You could tell it meant an awful lot to Rush, and I imagine that was one of the happiest moments of his life. So we'll miss Rush, but I'm glad that he got some recognition as well before he passed on.
Most definitely. And what's going on today, markets? What's happening?
Well, nothing yet. Yesterday was kind of a quiet day for the most part, Kim. You know, the Dow was up a little bit. I think the NASDAQ was down just a little bit. Looks like the futures this morning on the Dow are showing down maybe 90 to 100. Of course, we still got an hour to go, so a lot of things could change between now and then. But again, you're starting to see, you know, the market's looking a little bit extended. A few of your stocks that have been leading are showing some signs of fatigue, you know, breaking below intermediate term support. So I think, you know, it bears watching over the next few days and couple weeks to see how some of these leaders behave. Do they bounce back to new highs quickly, or do they deteriorate a little bit more? And that could give you a tip off to what the markets might do.
And that's why you need to have a real plan and check your portfolio. You're the guy to do that for folks. How can people reach you, Jason?
Well, easy way, Kim. Just give us a call at 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600.
And Jason, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one, Kim.
Thanks so much. We're going to go to break. When we get back, we're talking with Hal Van Herke. He is an entrepreneur. He is the owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool. And I also want to get his perspective about Rush Limbaugh. And then we'll talk about small business. Stay tuned.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Bumper music there is Rush Limbaugh's bumper music, and he passed on yesterday. And Hal Van Herke, he was, I think, an icon is an appropriate word for him.
Yeah, I think he was an icon. He was, you know, obviously he was a pioneer in talk radio, in conservative talk radio. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there was any talk radio other than maybe Howard Stern and things like that. I don't know the timeline of, you know, some of the major cities maybe had talk radio here and there.
Yeah.
But growing up during the time that I did, Rush was very influential. I mean, he was hitting his stride just as we were starting our careers out, you know, after college. And I remember one thing I haven't heard people talk too much about is, you know, we used to have Rush rooms. It was mostly guys, but we would work our business hours around wherever you were in the country, work your business hours around so you could take a break if you had a job that was flexible enough like that, to where you could go to a bar or someplace that was playing the Rush Limbaugh show, and you could sit there and have a drink in the afternoon and listen to Rush Limbaugh and then go back to work, make up for the time you lost. But we would actually schedule our day. There was a time where we would schedule our day around listening to Rush Limbaugh. You didn't want to miss what he was going to say.
I never heard that before.
Yeah, I think it was, you know, something, you know, just about being a young conservative out of college. You know, if you were in college Republicans or you were, you know, a conservative activist like, you know, Turning Point USA would be today, and you get out and you finally hear somebody advocating very loudly and boisterously, you know, conservative opinions on radio, it was fun, and we would arrange our day around it. And I think that's one thing I haven't heard people talking about, the Rush rooms and the fact that we would schedule social events around Rush when Rush was going to be.
I had never heard that. I think I was later I started to listen to him. I really didn't start to pay a lot of attention to all of this until about 2011, 2012. And then it was at that time I jumped in full force. And I think that actually it started with one of my kids was going to college. We're working our tails off to pay for college, you know. And so it's not fair if people are now going to get their debt forgiven. But anyway, and one of my kids who was studying political science up at CSU, we were on a trip, and he started to espouse the benefits of a one-world government with 9 judges that would make the decisions for all of us. How I thought I was going to blow a gasket. And I said, did you not think the founders thought it was a good idea to, like, have balance of power and distribute the power? And it was at that point, I think my son thought I was mad at him.
Oh.
I was mad at me for being so stupid to be spending all this money without knowing what was going on. And then also, I was so frustrated with this agenda. And we have a caller. We don't take callers very often. And so, Steve in Colorado Springs, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Good morning. Just a couple of passing thoughts on Rush. Some of your longtime listeners, or his longtime listeners, will remember in 93, Dan's bake sale. And what it was, Rush had made a comment, Bill Clinton, our favorite Rhodes Scholar in the White House, had suggested that schools have bake sales to pay off the national debt. So anyway, this guy Dan calls in. His wife won't let him subscribe to the $29.95 newsletter. So Rush pretty much half-jokingly says, well, why don't you do a bake sale? Well, the thing exploded. This was in May of 93, and I figured it'd be a lot of people. So we flew up from Colorado Springs, 6 of us. Met Rush at the airport. He jumped off of EIB-1 Learjet. He choppered in, which was a good idea because it took us an hour to get the last 5 miles. But anyway, it was hilarious in the fact that he brought like 2 dozen baked cookies. They sold out immediately. But there wound up being like 50,000 people there, and they're all on the same page. But just, I really mourn his passing, number one. Number two, he did a lot of wonderful things for a lot of people, humbly, without accreditation or attention. And I just think his legacy, to me at least, a lot of it, is that he planted the seed of conservative, discerning thought, and now it's up to us to beat it, water it, fertilize it, and grow it.
Oh. Steve, thanks so much for calling in and sharing that perspective, because I wasn't really paying attention then yet. And as I mentioned to Hal, I was kind of late to the party on this. And when I first started to listen to him, when he said, you know, I have one or half my brain tied behind my back, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I think that's hysterical. But I could see how people on the left who no longer have a sense of humor, it would drive them crazy, Steve.
On that subject, it really, I find it very disturbing that there's so many people out there that stew in their hatred and vitriol that even on the guy's passing, they've got to absolutely knock him and come out with all kinds of incredibly nasty memes, most of whom who have never listened to him. They just take the party line from the lib-left Dems and go, he's evil, he's a conservative. The vast majority haven't even listened to him.
Well, he was a funny guy. And Steve, thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate you sharing that. And I've heard now about Dan's bake sale, but thanks for sharing that with us.
Have a great day.
Okay, thanks. And Hal.
Yeah, just like Steve said, it's unless you're of that age, it's hard to imagine just how influential he was for a period of time. It was different. It was unlike anything else that was going on in media. It was contrary to what most was going on in media. He broke a lot of rules in terms of, I mean, for better or worse, he was boisterous, egotistical, brash. Like you said, you know, I'm doing this with, you know, with half my brain tied behind my back. he was as bombastic as you could be. And it was, in some ways, at that point in time, it was refreshing, if not comical, in some ways, to just hear somebody, you know, maybe he was the world's first troll. I mean, you know, on a global scale, but he was just trolling everybody, and it was humorous. And but then he did get everybody thinking, and he, even to later in his career, he did a lot of asking people, you know, a lot of his stuff was, can you imagine? Or what do you think about that? Or, you know, trying to get people to think for themselves, not just telling them, here's what you need to do. But, you know, he's like, I'm warning you, this is going to happen next. What do you think is going to happen? Mm-hmm. And he got a lot of people to start thinking about and paying attention to what was going on in D.C. and what was going on in politics. And not just that, but, you know, all around the world.
Definitely. Producer Steve, you look like you'd like to weigh in on this.
I like your phrase about when did you get to the party. I think last August it was 32 years for Rush to be on the air, and he really played it down. So I'm thinking, okay, that was, you know, do the math. And so I didn't catch the first couple of years. Where I picked up on it, though, was the 90 leading up to the 92 election. Did I know anything about this bozo governor from Arkansas, Bill Clinton? No. But starting to listen to this guy named Rush Limbaugh, and okay, so again, what we keep asking other people to do. I didn't necessarily take Rush's word for everything that, you know, Bill Clinton was doing, but I went out and started looking at it. Mm-hmm. Who is this Bill Clinton guy? More so, who is his wife? And oh my gosh. So I was late coming to the party, but after the election of 92, I was hooked.
Well, as I was looking for quotes, Hal, there's quotes, things that he's said that I'm like, oh my, I can see why he called them the Feminazis. I can see why he just totally got them crazy. But he was early on, and what I have seen the feminist movement do is it's really the feminist movement, and it was all kind of underlying. Initially, I thought, hey, this is great. Women can, you know, have their careers, have their families. But ultimately, that agenda has been about taking down straight men, primarily Caucasian men, and abortion. And so the fact that he realized early on what that agenda was, and he named it. He could come up with, with names, and I don't mean disrespect since Justice Ginsburg has passed on, but he called her Justice Ruth Buzzy Ginsburg. You know, he could say something immediately, and you just chuckle a little bit. And my gosh, just have a little sense of humor on it, Steve.
I would challenge someone who might be keeping a comprehensive list. My favorite what was her title? Debbie Wasserman Schultz?
Yeah.
He called her Debbie Blabbermouth Schultz.
And it just rolled off. And what he did, just with like two little words or three little words, Hal, and I think to Steve's point is he made us start to think.
Right.
And he was never mean. Now, these things may sound mean. I take him more as humorous towards public figures. And in some ways, he was able to call it as it was. But as I talked, as I listened to him with listeners, I saw a kindness in him. And I never really ever, I can never recall him really going after a listener. And I've heard talk show hosts that go after listeners and are just mean and talk over them. And I never heard him really do that.
Yeah, I think that a lot of what his tone that he took to his show was that he would use these phrases and these nicknames and stuff to, you know, as attention grabbers. Mm-hmm. Really, that was part of it to get listenership, to get people thinking. But then, you know, again, we said he would always say, "Ooh, you should pay attention to this," or maybe we should pay attention to that, or we should go read more about that, or listen to what they're saying. Mm-hmm. It wasn't always about this is what I think, this is what I think. You know, and trying to shove that, you know, down, you know, people's throat, especially across the aisle. And it was definitely not like we see today where it was coming from a position of cancel culture or hatred toward somebody on the other side of the aisle. It was, at most, it was hatred towards some of their crazy ideas, especially if they were trying to sneak them through in private, that, you know, would get a lot of attention. But it's not the same vitriol and the same tone as we have today.
Well, and he grew up in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, which is, I think it's right on the Mississippi River. And he had I was watching one of the shows last night. He had, I think, a great classical liberal education, which that is how education used to be here in America. And he had this deep appreciation for the American experiment, the American idea, and the American people, Hal.
Yeah, I think that was a key thing. I think that, I mean, just reading in the news today that how school systems in Illinois are revamping their educational system again to make it more progressive and leaving out key foundational things we think that children need during part of their education in order to get more indoctrination in. So, I mean, the education system in this country has gone completely out of control. And fortunately, he was born at a time and in a place where he wasn't a victim of that. He took advantage of it. But also, he was somebody who embodied that ability to, you know, come from anywhere under, you know, no special circumstances and rise to the top and be successful. I mean, we don't talk a lot about right now, but he made an enormous amount of money doing what he was mm-hmm. doing. People didn't make enormous amount of monies in national radio until he came along. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he created an audience that hadn't existed before that was so large that, you know, it made so much money for his sponsors and his radio networks and everybody involved, the advertisers, that they could afford to pay him, you know, in some cases, $20 to $40 million a year or more. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think one year he made $85 million or something like that.
And I love that.
Yeah, I mean, that's so, I mean, in some respects, it's great. Who wouldn't champion the American dream, right? If I mean, so he was.
But Bill Gates doesn't.
He was a product of it, and right, and he was a product of it, and he was a beneficiary of it, and he was grateful for that. Whereas some other people, like you just mentioned, who I think were products of that, beneficiaries of it, and for some reason don't remain grateful for that opportunity. You know, maybe they think that they deserved it all the credit themselves. But yeah, Rush was always somebody who was grateful to have been in a country that afforded him that opportunity.
Well, and Mark Stein, I heard him last night say, and Mark Stein many times was doing guest hosting for him, particularly as he was going through these treatments. And he said that Rush treated people really well around him. And the people that worked for him for many, many years. And he made a comment. He said, I can't remember who he's talking to. He said, in our business, sometimes there's hosts that can't even keep a receptionist for more than 6 months. And the fact that he had people that worked with him for decades is, again, I think it's a real hats off to who the man was. So rest in peace, Rush Limbaugh. And to Steve's point, all this that we've learned from him, we need to water it. We need to grow it. We need to go to work with this education system and how on that there's only a certain amount of hours in the school day. And our kids are not coming out with the tools that they need to pursue their happiness. When I was on city council, I heard politicians and bureaucrats and interest parties saying, we are educating for our workforce. No, we are educating our kids so that they have the tools to go out and pursue their happiness. Let's keep that thought. I can tell you have something to say about that, Hal Van Herke. This is Kim Munson. We'll be right back.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Rest in peace, Rush Limbaugh. A great segment that we had with Hal Van Herke, talking about Rush Limbaugh. And you said something that he really educated us. And education, Hal, there's only a certain amount of hours in the school day. And our kids are falling behind. As we look at the statistics across the world, our kids are falling behind in the tools that they need to be pursuing their happiness. And when I was on city council and I saw many of these PBIs, these politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties come in and talk about, we need more money so that we can educate these kids for our workforce, for these businesses, I'm like, wait a minute. And as this has come full circle, I realize it's really been the small businesses, that the entrepreneurs that have been the engine of our economy, which I know you have a big heart for that. But education is, when we're filling part of the school days, telling boys and girls that you may not be a boy or girl. We talked about this yesterday with Reggie and Lauren when they were in studio. In fact, Lauren said that his son had written a paper and he had used the word sex instead of gender, and he got lost marks on that. They counted off on that. And so what's going on in education, we're not really educating our kids. Rush Limbaugh educated us every day. What do you think, Hal?
Yeah, I think you have to look at fundamentally the whole structure of the school system. It's kind of a situation where we're so used to it that we can't see the forest for the trees, right? I mean, we can't see the big picture. Our educational system, the way it evolved right now, has evolved around the Industrial Revolution. And in fact, before that we had, going back, they had trade guilds, for example. And then you had education, closely centered around universities and other religious institutions that were more contemplative and debate-oriented and collaboration-oriented, et cetera, that were small centers of education. But when we started really rolling out major public education systems, it was all around the Industrial Revolution and the need for lack of a better word, indoctrinating or grooming people to be good factory workers. And so school started at a certain time every day, couldn't be late, chairs are all lined up in a straight line. Everybody has to behave the same way, think the same things, do the same things. The education system evolved around the need of putting people in factories that could work together in large teams, et cetera. And then it wasn't...
So they were educating for the workforce.
Period, yeah. And then as you move on and we start getting into the information age, then you start to see a little tiny bit of this renaissance of people having alternative options in education again. But for a period of time, there was only one option. I guess you had religious private-based schools, very wealthy private schools, or the vast majority of people went to public schools. But now we see a little bit of a renaissance of trying to get people to educate and inspire children to grow, to grow and to think for themselves and to become more creative. And creativity is emphasized more in alternative schools, private schools, homeschooling, specialty schools, satellite schools, and things like that. I think that fundamentally what we've got now, though, is that the government is indoctrinating people not for the workforce but to be good, loyal citizens. And that means good, loyal citizens of a big, tyrannical government that will provide for you from cradle to grave and expects absolute servitude in return. And I think you see a lot of that progressive agenda sneaking into education now. So they're no longer educating you for your job. They're educating you for what they expect of you as a loyal leftist citizen. And that's why some of these issues have to be, shoved into the agenda at the expense of other education and learning. And I think that history, we're going to look back, throughout history and decide that allowing the government to educate our children and be responsible for that was probably one of the biggest mistakes we've ever made as a society. I don't know how you can be a society of citizens and to be a democracy when everybody is taught to think the same way by the government you're supposed to be keeping your eye on. And so I think it's a major problem that we let government dictate how we educate our children. So we need a lot in today's day and age where a young person growing up now, they can pick one of many paths through life. They don't have to go through the same traditional education system we went through on the same timeline in the same steps. There's a million ways to pick your way through life today and to be successful and be unique and be creative and make your own way and make that unique to your experience. And by doing so, have an opportunity to create new things for other people and to discover things, invent things, create things, innovate things, because you're not locked into a single mindset. And so there's a much more experience of a broader set of humanity if we have people being able to find their own pathway through life and starting out with education that's unique and appropriate to them. You can't do that in a one-size-fits-all government education system. So I'm a big proponent on wanting to have private schools, privately funded schools, public school vouchers, et cetera, to break up this two-union monopoly we have over the minds of our children.
Well, and how... A bedrock, though, to be able to do all this is to be able to read and write and do math And I think a lot of our kids are falling behind because instead of focusing on many of those basic things, that we're off over here on this agenda that you're just talking about. And we need to, I know this whole thing with the COVID-19 thing, getting kids back to school, I think it is important to get kids back to school, but I am, like you, really questioning this whole government school model, particularly when we have, I think it's New York or is it Illinois, where teachers from the teachers union don't want to go back to work.
Yeah.
So
I was going to say, bringing it back to the teachers union, who is keeping the schools from being reopened? It's, in most cases, it's not the governor. In most cases, it's the school union, the teachers union, and the pressure that those two organizations can put on, especially Democratic politicians. The two national teachers unions are both in the top five of government lobbying and political contributions in the country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, overwhelmingly, if you combine the two, the largest political force in America. And so they decide when the schools are going to reopen. In a lot of these places, their union their members don't want to be back in the classroom. They're getting paid full time for being out of the classroom. They don't want to go back if there's any risk at all. And so the situation we find ourselves in today, where parents are demanding that their children get back into the classroom, kids, you know, I have nieces and nephews that are just unhappy that they're not back in school and seeing their friends and learning and they're missing school. But who's the one saying that, no, we're going to stay out? It's the unions, you know. And
but yet they're still advocating for it to be paid but not work.
Yes, that's great, yeah. Right? It's the socialist utopia, yeah. Right? You get to be paid but not work, you know. So that's it's a problem. And I think, again, what I said before, I think that allowing our government to have that position of monopoly with public schools and two very leftist unions dominating what happens in those classrooms is the biggest mistake we've made since the founding of this country.
And as you mentioned, there's alternatives out there to educate ourselves. And we really need to go to work, as you mentioned. I think that vouchers, so that a mom in an inner city school that may not be performing can get her kids out of there. I think we need to get creative on this. Through this whole scamdemic, we've seen the veil coming off on all kinds of things. And as our listener Steve said, we need to now water what we have in our hearts, what we've learned from Rush Limbaugh, and we need to go out and make a change on this. Al Van Herky, we have 1 minute left. It always goes so quickly when you're in studio, but thank you for your partnership.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. Any final thoughts?
I think just, you know, turning it back to my business, I guess if we just have a few.
Oh, yes, Castlegate Knife and Tool.
Yeah, we do sell things for a living at castlegate.com. And that includes knives for every occasion, you know, and every use and utility, from a tradesman on to a chef to an outdoorsman or anything else in between. We sell U.S.-made watches. We just launched our precision rifle program, Your Rifle,
That's
Your
right.
Way. We now have AR-15 rifles in stock in the store, so that's moving along. By the time I'm here next time, we'll have our sharpening system fully up and running and talk about that next time. So we're expanding what we do, and business is doing great, and we appreciate your support and your listener support.
Well, I appreciate your partnership, so thank you so much, Hal Van Herky. And our quote for today is from Rush Limbaugh. He says, "You have to believe in yourself. You have to believe there's a reason you're trying to pursue the highest levels you can go. That's because you can do it, and you can do it well, and you can do it better than anybody else." So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. You are not alone, my friends. God bless you, God bless America, and Rush Limbaugh, rest in peace. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive. I was born free.
The views views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM. AM 560 and 100.7 FM. 560thesource.com.